All right, welcome back, everybody. This time we're going to take a look at the Onion Rig, made put together in the same program, but the more advanced version of it. And there's a lot of different tools and stuff you have access to, so Onion's just opening that up now. Well, how many times have you re-rigged this since you just mentioned the one you had open was not the final one?
Well, it's something that I tinkered with it for over a period of time, for a long time. And I've only actually used it a small handful of times to make a whole bunch of static poses in the same way that your one has poses. As far as tailor making it to audio is concerned, I did that probably 3 times. And then I'd have several minutes of the characters just moving and gesturing. And I found that in the midst of making small YouTube videos, it wasn't worth animating it from scratch every single time. All the poses were generic enough to just work. So I just, you know, paste in the same MOV every time and it was fine. Anyway.
That's funny you mention that because that's sort of what I did for the trailer is there's so many pieces to it and some of the stuff I couldn't edit in the Toon Boom Advance. So I just grabbed the whole timeline of stuff and adjusted a couple things so his mouth would be open when he was actually talking and his hands made sense.
So this is the Onion Rig. And it's got a couple of different things going on. Because, like, the way it gestures and things. My favorite thing, though, is that the contours on the body rotate with the character sometimes. Wait. Yeah, it's a bit broken at the moment, because I think that's going backwards. something horrible happened, and I haven't been bothered to go back. So you notice that it rotates there on its own. But going inside, we have this. So it's fairly group. I can't remember how it goes. I'm going to have to spend some time remembering as I go. What have we got? I'll open up drawing view on the side. Okay, so that's the... Yeah, so last time I talked about symbols a bit, and this is where this comes in. So the contours are made up of this. A whole bunch of curve deformers. Each one is a... Hang on, select. Select, where are you? Where is it? There we go. So each one is a just a line like that. Just a single line of vector. And they all have a bunch of deformers through them like that. So they're all bent out in such a way that it curves around the edges of the character. Notice I can bend and warp it like that. And over the course of about 15 frames, you can see they all sort of just warp a bit to the right.
Yes.
Ending where the next one begins. So essentially it loops, even though it only just sort of shifts to the right. Now, picking up and placing these down and changing their pacing for each individual gesture would be a real pain in the butt. So rather than going into each of these layers all at once, all of it was compacted into a symbol, which means it was all on one layer of timeline. So up on the surface now, from here. So now, when I need to make a turn, each of these frames now become like drawing states, like individual mouths or whatever. So it's like moving through your drawing substitution. Maybe it even appears in drawing substitutions. Yes, it does. There we go. So those 13 frames that are really tweens, they're now showing up as drawings. What that means is by nudging through the individual drawing states, I can do this. Choose each frame at a time. So depending on how fast or how slowly the character is rotating, I'm able to keep up with that pace. You know, sometimes, oh, it's only moving 2, oh, it's moving 3, and then it slows down into 2s and 1s. You know, these act like regular exposures, so I can have it animate in 1s or 2s. I can copy and paste and move them around, play it in reverse. Very, very handy for specific tasks. So hopefully that's somewhat inspiring as to where symbols could actually be useful. Going deeper into the actual rig, though, let's see. Eyes group. There we go. Look at that. Most of it is, you know, you can pick it up and just pose them around like this if you want. Each of the pegs is which button moves up the hierarchy. I can't remember. I haven't set my shortcuts up on this machine. But there's an eye master, so you can move them both together. That's pretty standard. you know, body pegs so we can squash and stretch stuff. One that has the contours, one that doesn't. One that grabs everything except the feet with the pivot point at the bottom, so it has bounces. There's nothing too complicated going on with that. There's even a bit of hair contours if I want to have it some bounce. But where this rig gets different to a lot of others is this thing, the control deck. This is something that is not very common. But what was bothering me about animating this thing was how many layers there are. And this is a common complaint.
There's so many layers. Yeah. Even more than my rig.
Yeah. And it becomes a bit of an eyesore. And you spend so much time sort of just navigating it. When you're working with complicated rigs, a lot of the time you can avoid it by just working visually with the transform tool. Like you'll select a piece, go down here and just press the O key and it will zoom you straight to the layer.
What?
So,
oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay. I'm going to remember that. O key. O key.
O key. Yeah, it's amazing. And it works both ways. So if I select this layer and I need to find its node, press the O key and then it will take me straight to it as well. Yeah, so it's the easiest way to navigate. Saves a lot of time. And then most of this junk, you simply don't need to worry about it and it starts to fall into, you know, your peripherals. But still, in this case, it was bothering me a bit. And I was wondering, is it possible to set up a layering system in such a way that you can only see what is necessary? A lot of these layers don't get animated. If it's a mask, if it's an effect, if, you know, some pegs are only there for grouping purposes, they're not there for animation purposes. Pretty much none of the actual physical drawings get animated. They only get manipulated via their peg above.
Yeah, okay.
So this is where this comes in. Yeah, so this is the control deck. This is a clone of every node that gets animated, and it ignores everything else. If we were to look at it, it looks like this. So it's very ugly and creepy.
Yeah, that's so weird. Because it actually affects the camera view.
Only if I want it to. This is where display pegs get used in a bit of an unconventional way. So the display node's great, I should have said, because you can. It's a great way sort of like isolating stuff. If you have tons and tons of characters, you can put a display node into each one so you don't have to look at the entire scene at once and have it blow your mind. Another use it has, as an option in the advanced preferences, you can turn display switches on for individual camera views and for the timeline as well. So I can have the camera look through the main one, but I can have the timeline look through the control deck one.
Got it.
Right? So this one I've, you know, tailor-made to be just very tidy. You know, it's color-coded for each part. Each layer is practical and useful. So, you know, the only drawing layers here are the mouth, because it has different states, and the hands, because they have different states. And, of course, the contours, which I've already talked about. Everything else is just the pegs. So I can go through each one linearly, almost like in a stop-motion way. You know, I set up, you know, a new pose, and I sort of just work my way down the chain, posing each piece as I need to. So that's really quick and efficient for a rig like this. The downside of it, though, is that old method of picking up things with the transform selection tool, that no longer works. Because I'm not touching this timeline version one. I'm touching the original version one. So it starts to mess things around a little bit. So there may be a way around it. At the moment, I'm noticing they light up pink, so maybe I just don't have it set up to its pivot properly. I need to make a new generation of this, because this is about a year and a half old now. I've learned a lot about rigging since then. But it may have its uses. If I come back to this, maybe I will. But, you know, I've built a felt puppet since then, which I can animate live, so I don't tend to use it a whole lot. But I'd be interested to see where other people could take such an idea of remote control rigging.
When you combine the puppet idea with this animation idea, I've seen people, not on 2D characters, although I'm sure you could map it to work the same way, but they animate their hand, or they record their hand making a motion. And then there's a little thing you can get, I think it's called a leap. Anyway, it records that, and then it maps it on to your 3D model. So you're doing the same thing. You're just animating it live, but it is actually populating onto a character model.
So it's like motion capture with your hand.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would be possible in 2D. You need to do it like a... If you just had like a... like trackers, like put it through After Effects or something first. Put tracking markers onto your hands so it was able to open and close accurately. Turn all of those into motion paths, like tween data, and somehow get that back into your 2D animation software and pin a character to it.
I have no idea.
Hmm.
I'm sure it's possible. It's just not something that I have the skills to do right now. I've seen some crazy stuff in Toon Boom, like people creating sliders so that all you do is basically move stuff around on a slider and it affects the whole rig. And just it's in 3D space.
And the slider's just like in the interface?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They program. Yeah. It's just so crazy.
I did that once.
Oh, you did it.
It was so satisfying. Was it with master controllers or just
probably
with scripting
layers? I don't know. I'm not that familiar with the PEG system.
I haven't figured out master controllers yet, but I once did it with just regular just scripting. So the X sheet here. I need to do proper videos on this stuff. I've been wanting to do one on the expression layers just since forever. So keep an eye out for those. how do I bring up my XSheet tools? Where have they gone? I haven't actually opened this window since the new version came out. But there is... Okay, so when you make new layers in the timeline, you know, you've got, you know, drawings, pegs, etc. The XSheet view has a bunch of different types of layers that you can't get to elsewhere. But I can't see them.
Because this is odd.
Because I have columns. Here we go. So add columns. Okay, so these are the different layer types that you can get here. You've got drawings, sound, which you come to expect, 3D path, 3D rotation, Bezier curve, and ease curve. They're just different tween types. Toon Boom actually has more than one type of tween, which is kind of confusing. I've done like an hour-long video explaining it called Functions and Parameters, which has hardly any views because no one knows what functions and parameters really means, so it's not very like clickbaitable.
Yes, but it like, doesn't turn up in a search.
But it's got lots of very fundamentally interesting information, and the whole program just starts to make sense when you come to grips with it. Anyway, self-plugging aside, finally is expression. And this is it's like a drawing layer. It's like a peg layer, but instead of it being tween numbers, it's JavaScript. So you put code in it, and you can tell it to do different stuff. And I went through this whole process of making it reference different layers. So be like, okay, so take the tween data from this other layer and exaggerate it by 10% or something like that.
And, right, yes.
Yeah, and there was probably like 20 layers that had this script in it. And if I wanted to change the percentage value, I was like, oh, well, that's kind of a pain because I need to open each individual layer and change it each time. And that sucked. And I'm not a coder. So, you know, I kind of just keep Googling until I find the types of syntax that I need. But I know a bunch of coders and how they like to think and explain things. And it reminded me that a common complaint, they say, is if you're repeating yourself too much, you're kind of wasting time. You want to be able to find ways to automate stuff as much as possible. So I thought, okay, if I have to change this every time, then I'm wasting time. So there must be a way that I can sort of group all of this into one parameter. Oh, I know. I'll make another expression layer, put just the percentage in that, and then in all of these other layers, change it from the percentage to that layer instead. And that worked. And then I thought, well, hang on. That number, that percentage number, that is numbers on the screen. You know, like 0 to 100 exists just on the x-axis. Like, you know, just movement from left to right. So if I changed it from being a hard number percentage to referencing where a drawing is on stage between the x value of 0 and 100, and I moved that back and forth, would that change the number in the percentage and then change all the values? And it did.
Okay, I get it. I see how it works now. Yeah.
What it ended up with was, quite literally, as you say, drawing an interface of a, you know, a switch with a bar on it like this. What was so fun about it is that it was quite literally this crude. Just drawing it with the brush tool straight onto the interface and then picking it up, you know, picking it up with the transform tool and being like, okay, I'll move this here. And then, you know, all of the effects would get exaggerated more. And it worked. And it was great. And it was so exciting. How useful it would be on a day-to-day basis is another question. I haven't found too many yet. But it seems like one of those things that if there was the time to really, like, sink teeth into it and figure out new ways of automating stuff, there's so much to find and discover and play with. It'd be great.
I feel like you just described the basis of the on-screen sliders I've seen that cause the character to rotate through different 3D views, basically.
Yes.
I mean, you could just have it referencing, okay, then display this set of drawings, or display this set of drawings, or transform it by this much until X point, at which then you should load the next set of drawings for that view because it's too different to just tween it to get there.
Okay.
So that's got to be basically how you do it.
I'm going to show another example now that, if you haven't seen it, is going to blow your mind face, because this is where I want to experiment with it and see where it goes. So here is a one. And I'll call this layer 1, as I would. I could call it A, just to be obnoxious. Here's another layer. That's called 2. What a twist. That one will go there. And I'll put a 2. Whoa, this is exciting. Glad you like, comment, and subscribe to this. Oh, boy. okay, now, so this is like very basic node structure where, you know, they're like layers, they have these cores, they go into a composite, and that ties it all together, and then it comes out through the display at the bottom. That's what the camera sees. But instead of having a composite that shows both, I could put in an image switch. Image switch. There we go. Now, this thing is sort of like a composite, but it only shows one layer at a time. And what port it reveals is determined, like it's animatable. So down here in its parameters, port index, 0, it starts at 0 to the right and works its way to the left. So if I change that from 0 to 1, it switches over. And that's keyframeable. You know, I can put a keyframe here, shift it back to 0. And, well, if its exposure was up, which it's not, so my example's just a dud. Where's the frame?
Where are you in the timeline?
Where did I there draw is this? Did you see it?
In the middle.
Where'd it go?
It's like frame.
There they are.
There it is.
Hang on. Bear with me. Professionalism. Okay, there we go. So that'll play and then switch over at that. That makes sense. Now, because that is just a number that we are tweening, it is therefore exactly the same as tweening the X parameter function that I was talking about before. So therefore, you could draw a face that, you know, have all the front-facing parts on this one, have all the three-quarter face parts on this one, and then tell this thing to be set up in such a way that, oh, you started rotating it, you know, once it goes past 15 degrees, switch to all the other assets.
Kind of like how I had the rig set up, it wouldn't matter what you were doing, the position of all those pieces would copy through.
Yep.
So you wouldn't have to repose it. It just goes.
It's madness. there's a lot of room to explore because, like, it's all, like, maths and code and stuff. And it's a bit of a different world to a lot of us because we just want to be able to draw.
To me, it's all part of rigging. So when you get an animator who's really frustrated by rigging, it's all this math stuff that goes into it. Because you have to think about how the pieces interact with each other and how far they can go before you break them and what kinds of stuff you can do to automate the whole thing. That's what puppets are all about. It's about math. So, and then you get frustrated because you just draw it. It'd be faster.
because there's so much, like, guesswork as well. Like, trying to set up your keyframes and your breakdowns for a complicated rig, there's so much just nudging parts around and, you know, trial and error, and you're like, oh, now this piece is over here, why is that? It takes you out of the storytelling process if you're wanting to just focus on the acting and the emotion and expression.
Yeah, I find it's very technical minded, the puppet dealing with rigs is very technical. And that's kind of why I like it so much.
Like, even take this scenario here where I've, you know, moved the pupils a bit too far to the right at one point, and now they're just, like, stuck there. I wouldn't be able to focus on doing dialogue with this character now, because I'd be spending the next 20 minutes being like, why are they there? How do I fix it? How do I make sure that I fix it here, and it's fixed for everything, and it won't just break again 30 frames down the line? I think probably the most sensible way is don't forget traditional methods. Like, still rough it by hand. Get a drawing layer, just map it all out with a brush tool, get creative, throw your little paint around, have fun, and then pose characters to your roughs and go from there.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting method.
Well, because then all the storytelling's sort of done.
Yeah, yeah, and then you're just animating.
Yeah, you can let your brain sort of shift gears from the whole acting side to the, you know, technical posing side.
The thing is, it's not that common that you get to look inside of a rig, a professionally made rig, so it's always interesting to be able to do that and see how people have set them up differently, because it's different. Every single time I look at inside a rig, it's different, and it's few and far between.
I know, right? This is the main example I have to show as well, because it's rare that a proper... Like, I wouldn't have any, like, big industry-level ones to show off, because, one, they'd all be under NDA, and second, if I'm making any rigs for myself, they're going to be a lot simpler, because they're just for me, and they're for smaller purpose. There's not really much need to make a great, big, grandiose Studio Mercury-level rig for one person.
Yeah, it's the same on my end. But, like, for example, here, even the character design is cleverly made so that you don't have to deal with certain things. Like, the hands being independent from the body makes a huge difference. So you get, like, scribbles, and she's got the fully formed arms instead of little floaty paws, and you have to deal with all of that.
Oh, that's a whole other story there, is the, when do you have to be really diligent in planning a rig out so that, you know, work doesn't go to waste and that it isn't a whole waste of time, versus the very impromptu ones where you are just animating and then adding rig parts and on the fly. If you want to know more about Toon Boom Rig and stuff, I don't know, just tell us and maybe we'll do it.
Or, you know, just visit Onion Skin's channel. He's got a ton of Toon Boom stuff on there. I usually tell people to go see him for that stuff. So I'm not doing too many Toon Boom tutorials because he's done it.
That's very kind. Okay, have a good week, everyone.
All right, see you next week.